October. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray that you'll be blessed tonight with a good word from the Lord and some deliverance as well. So appreciate you being here. God bless you. And now we're going to go ahead and open up with some news this evening, and then we will get into the important things of the program, which is the Word of God, and knowing Him more, getting more of God, getting delivered, getting knowledge Yes, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We got to get all the knowledge that God will give us, spiritually discerned knowledge from heaven. Amen. Well, news tonight, a shocking news report found 216 to 330,000 victims covered up by Catholic priests and Catholic nuns. The nuns use crucifixes to rape girls or force boys to have sex with them during the 7 decades of abuse that have gone on by French nuns and priests. My, there's a reason God said marry and not good that man should be alone. And God never said don't marry. He said that there are those who don't, he said, but hey, it's better to marry than to burn and be given over to all kinds of perversions. My, my. So God instituted marriage, but Catholicism rejected marriage. So that ought to tell you something about them, that they obviously didn't follow the word of God. Biden hates parents and appoints an avowed critical race theory supporter to the education department. A slap in the face to parents who have been voicing opposition to this deceptive teaching, as well as standing up at school board meetings, which the supposedly attorney general has now called the FBI in response to the school boards requesting the FBI called in that these parents are domestic terrorists. Domestic terrorists. Really? They're just watching out for the well-being of their children. Yeah. Well, it's just getting weird, strange, huh? A Democrat, member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives has introduced legislation to mandate or basically force vasectomy for men, that's right, after they father 3 children or reach the age 40. No more children after 40 and no more than 3 children allowed, whichever comes first. Hey, who, where'd this guy come from anyway? This man, he, Chris Rabb, is he from Communist China, CCP? Really? State representative for the state of Pennsylvania. Yeah, something's wrong there, you know. Got to give people as many children as he wants them to have, not up to man to dictate that. Liberal judge orders for the killing of the unborn in Texas to resume in spite of the laws that were passed in Texas. They get to resume doing abortions at this particular clinic. And a man reached his tormented personal breaking point and jumped from a 9-floor window in New Jersey City, New Jersey, this week. And he was planning to kill himself, commit suicide. And instead of dying, he hit the roof of a car, evidently the sunroof of a car, and went right through it. And, it broke some things, but he lived. That's right. He survived the fall, tried to kill himself. 9 stories is 100 feet, about. The 31-year-old was trying to commit suicide. And instead of crashing into the sidewalk or the pavement, he landed into a BMW, the roof of the top of a BMW, the window, the sunroof, and his legs went through the sunroof is what was said here, and I saw the picture of this. Well, why did he live? You think maybe God still wants to give him another chance to be saved? I sure hope so. I sure hope he gets another opportunity. Somebody share Jesus with him. Yeah. Pray that someone will in Jesus' name. Yeah, I do. ESPN host Sage Steele suspended by Disney owners of the network. Did you know ESPN was owned by Disney? For criticizing COVID company policy or mandate by Disney to jab it. To jab everybody in the company, that everybody had to get the vaccine. Yeah, and she was sick. I mean, it was scary and thought it was sick that they were doing that and mentioned it, that it was sick and scary, noting she didn't want to take the jab but felt powerless against it. Well, they got on to her and let her go, put her on leave or something, and she went on Tuesday and apologized for her remarks. She caved in a way, right? Apologizing for it. People need to take a stand and not be ashamed of it. You know, if they believe in something, they need to stand for it and not back down. But a lot of people today, they cave in and back down when the pressure's on. CBN News witnesses thousands more Haitians flooding through Panama's Darien Gap on their way to the U.S. Thousands more of them are coming. And students across the United States participate in Bring Your Bible to School yesterday. This is both for students attending public school and private school. They had the boldness to bring their Bibles to school, a lot of them. And, you know, we need to be bold with our Bible, too. Aren't you? Are you willing to walk around downtown with a big old Bible under your arm? And people looking at you like you're kind of strange there, but, you know, some of them will admire you for it. And others may mock you, but still, they're mocking you. Some of them are going to set their own self into judgment that way. And some of them will get saved and mocked, too. You know, I mocked God once and before I was a Christian. Somebody witnessed to me and shared Jesus with me, and I said some bad words and mocked them, and then went right out when I left. I guess it was at a mall, and when I left the mall, that I ran into the back of a car, my motorcycle, and I had a wreck, had an accident. And I said, I'm never going to mock God again. I'm not ever going to do that again. I learned my lesson, even though I wasn't a Christian at that time and didn't become one right away for a number of more years. But I didn't ever mock and curse God anymore as an unbeliever. I didn't do it. I learned you don't do that. I have honor for God, even though I wasn't a Christian. And a lot of people, you know, they have no honor for God. And they mock Christianity. And that's sad. And North Korea portrays Christians as a blood-sucking monster. That's what they portray Christians as. Blood-sucking monsters, murderers and spies. And so they're attacking the Christian faith and mocking God. And they hate God, obviously. And they're afraid that Christianity will spread in their country. And China, of course, is afraid of it, too, and they are attacking Christians, and they have 415 million surveillance cameras deployed throughout the country, making its population by far the world's most surveilled society. That's right. And they do a lot of other things, too, like digital currency and social security cards and social credit systems and online interactions. And oh, man, they just want to watch their citizens constantly. And, you know, people there could be arrested for pre-crimes, arrested and detained for pre-crime before they even ever do anything. As simple as they bought a tent suddenly. Well, they never bought a tent before. I wonder what's going on there. They plan to go out in the wilderness and hide from us? Or, you know, who knows what kind of things go through their wicked minds, their lost and demonized minds. But they're not Christians that are doing this. Or maybe they stop smoking suddenly, or they change their behavior in any way the system finds odd, and then they can be whisked away to one of hundreds of prison camps just for a little nothing that they did or doing something different. So and they're being watched constantly. So how can they get out from under the eyes of Big Brother over there? Yeah, what a place, huh? And now China is threatening war with Taiwan, and of course Taiwan has two allies that if China does attack them, India and Japan are vowed to protect China, I mean to protect Taiwan if they were attacked in any way. And so it could get pretty ugly over there pretty quick if things begin to happen. So, yeah, we're living in a precarious world. And the Bible said there'd be wars and rumors of wars in these latter days that we live in. So be ready for these things, and just be ready always to go be with Jesus. I mean, listen, it could happen. We could get nuked at any time. Someone could do a preemptive strike on us, or some other situation could happen. Yet God could protect you from this. It could hit right around you, and you not even die from it. But the other side is that you might too, and you got to be ready to meet the Lord. Are we ready for that? We should be. Should know Him and know Him better all the time, and draw nearer all the time to the Lord in your walk with Him. And getting closer to the Lord, and continue your deliverance journey, getting set free more and more as you progressively walk down that road of deliverance as well. Anyway, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Appreciate you tuning in today. God bless each of you, and we cover all with the blood of Jesus, and thank you for being here. And let's get blessed tonight from heaven and see what the Lord has to say to us in a few minutes. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and thank you for another opportunity to share your word with your dear children, Lord, that you love so much. And we appreciate each and every one who listened to this broadcast, whether they listen live or later on, which is what most people I hear do, is listen later during the week and Saturdays and different times. But Father, I thank you for each and every one, whether they're listening now or listening later. And I ask your blessing on each and every one in Jesus' name, and that their eyes would be open and they would know what they should do, if anything, at this present time. That you would lead us all, that we would be ready for whatever you want in our lives, Father, that we would be obedient to the heavenly direction and instruction as well. And Lord, that we would not be disobedient. We don't want to have to say, well, I was disobedient, Lord. No, you told me that and directed me this way, but I just wouldn't listen. Or I didn't feel it was you, or whatever reason we try to come up with that we don't obey God. But Lord, we want to be obedient. By the grace of God, we can do that. Even if it's different than what we might think you're telling us, Lord, we still need to be obedient. And so, Lord, we look to you for that. And thank you, Lord, for grace of God in our lives, and we thank you, Lord, for surrounding us with a hedge of protection from the evil one. And Lord, we pray against those wicked people that are trying to destroy our country right now, and Lord, send confusion into their camp, Father. Let them not be able to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish under the direction of Satan. Let them not prevail in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for turning this around in this nation, Father. We pray for a move of God in this country. We pray for, Lord, we bind these wicked spirits that are just lying to people and deceiving people right now and killing people. We rebuke the COVID spirit right now, that spirit of darkness, the spirit of death and disease and physical manipulation of people's bodies. And we rebuke those spirits and command them to fall in Jesus' name. And they will not prevail in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. And now, Father, we cover this broadcast with the blood of Jesus right now. Ask you to minister to every listener, Father. Thank you, Lord, to have your way. And thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that I'm an anointed person because I'm filled with you, not because I'm anything, but because of you and you're being everything. And you're filling me. And you fill me regularly up because, Lord, you do that because you called me. And Lord, I'm being obedient to the heavenly calling, Father, and doing the preaching all these years since I've been in ministry. And I thank you, Lord, for calling me to the ministry. And Lord, I say it's all glory to you, Lord. You did it, and you get all the glory. I worship you and thank you. And Lord, if the listeners of this program are called to do something, Lord, I pray you'll direct them to do it and lead them into it and bless them in their doing, Father. In Jesus' name, we just loose the angels of the Lord to see that everything works properly here tonight, Father, and take care of everyone. And the Holy Spirit will speak what needs to be spoken in the people's hearts and minds and spirits, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor Hallelujah, Father and Lord. We pray for the sick tonight as we close. We rebuke sicknesses and infirmities and cancers and tumors and growths on people's bodies and any other diseases that people are struggling with or attacked by right now. We rebuke heart trouble, circulation problems, diabetes problems, organ problems, in Jesus' name, mental problems. We rebuke these things in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a healer, Father. You said you're the one who healeth all our diseases and forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth all our diseases. Lord, we thank you for that healing. Lord, we release that healing out to those who are sick tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch their bodies, Father. Thank you, Lord, and heal them. In the name of Jesus, we speak to those bodies and say, be healed. In Jesus' name, and we apply the blood of Jesus against the enemy right now, in Jesus' name, and how he's attacking their bodies, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. And Lord, also we pray for Steve's healing as well, Steve Quayle's healing. Father, as he's still at home and resting and recuperating, Father, we pray, Lord, that he will heal quickly. And that you will continue to minister to his physical body. And we rebuke the sickness of COVID and the pneumonia and everything going on there in his body. We rebuke him. And we thank you for a complete and total recovery in Jesus' name. So he can get back to ministering and doing what he did before this attacked him. In Jesus' name, we thank you for blessing Steve. Everybody agree? Just say amen with me. All right. Okay, let's go ahead now. Hallelujah. Removing your fig leaves. That's the title tonight. Removing your fig leaves. What could that be about, Pastor? Well, we're going to find out here. Amen. You know, lots of Christians have played games for too long. Okay? And have learned to put on a good show for other Christians. But you know what? A show is not necessarily a reality. I mean, no, there's a lot of shows out there that are not reality. And they're not true. That's right. They can be to impress people, and they can be lies. And even to make or persuade them to believe something that is not true, politicians and actors put on a show. And news media put on a show. But it is so often just a lie or what they think others want to hear or need to hear and see or what they want to manipulate them to hear and see for a reason. Well, you know, Christians put on their fig leaves to cover up the real realities and their spirits that help them when doing that, when they start doing that, to cover up their faults, their demons, that they may not call them demons, of course. They may not call them demons. They might call them their hang-ups or their faults or their failures or their sins or their lust. But, hey, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be like that, and people might not like me or accept me if I am like that, so I'm going to cover up with a fig leaf. I'm going to cover these things up. I'm going to let other Christians see this stuff. And they act like they have it together when they don't have it together. But I know you don't have it together. I know that there is not any Christians that have everything all together perfectly here on the face of the earth. We're all growing in grace. We're all learning. Hopefully you're growing in grace. Some people are quit growing, and they've embraced religious spirits. But that's another story, which we'll touch on too some maybe. You know, hey, I'm a Christian. Shouldn't be like this. So I'm not going to let you see this. I shouldn't be struggling with these things. So we put on our mask, right, and act spiritual around other Christians. And I'm not talking putting on a physical mask, you know, like the COVID thing. I'm talking about, hey, I'm talking about people putting on these masks to cover up with the fig leaf. And they hide themselves. Because they don't want other Christians knowing what's going on inside of them. But, hey, in deliverance, we all know, if you've been in deliverance any amount of time, that nobody's totally delivered yet. And it's a process throughout our lifetime of getting delivered. It's a process. That's right. You don't get everything out at one time. You're not ready for it. And some things you might not be ready for 5 more years down the road because you're not ready to get it out before God. And God knows when you're going to be ready for it and you can keep it out and gain the victory. And he'll put the finger on it when it's time to get it out of it, right? If you're willing, that is, to get deliverance. A lot of people just aren't willing to get deliverance today. And so God can put his finger on things all he wants, but they're not going to respond because you have a will and you have a desire And if you don't have a will and a desire to get delivered, you're probably not going to get delivered, right? But anyway, they act spiritual around other Christians. Why? Well, we can't let them see that we don't have it all together as a Christian, and that we still have all this wrong with us. And so they put on the fig leaf. And we still get angry, still get offended, still get lustful, still get hateful or fearful or pride, or, and on and on the list could go of whatever things it may be. You're still unforgiving or still this or still that or still the other, and so you hide it. And so we want to be impressive. And we want to, you know, put on those fig leaves because we won't be impressive. I think all have played cover up at times. But can't we just admit it? Can't we just be real? We all still have demons, and they need to be gotten out of us. You know, they need to be gotten out of us, and we need to get out of agreement with them and get them cast out. Instead of playing a cover-up, oh, I've got it all together. Yet so many Christians don't want to be rejected, so they hide stuff. At least they think they'll be rejected, and so many don't want to admit it. The demon or their theology won't let them say that it's a demon because they think a Christian can't have a demon. So it's just something wrong with them. They just got hung up and they're ashamed of it or afraid that someone will find out about it. And, you know, but it's really, it is a demon, folks, really. And a lot of things are. And yeah, wrong beliefs keep a lot of Christians in continual bondage too, don't it? But when you don't believe certain right ways about certain things, then you're going to keep your demons. You're going to keep your problems. It's because you don't believe something doesn't make it true or right. Yeah, well, I don't believe a Christian can have a demon. Well, you got some, whether you believe it or not, right? So that's inaccurate. See, wrong beliefs just don't fix you. Just because you have a wrong belief, it doesn't make you okay and free. Well, just go ahead and face it, though. We all have our demons that need to go still, and so none of us are superior, one above another, and so where's room for pride? There isn't any. We give God all the glory. You know, any good that's in me comes from him. See? I'm more spiritual. No, I'm more spiritual. You know, and they start these spirit games and try to act like who's the most spiritual and who's the biggest spiritual one, and well, I have it together. No, I have it together. I don't do what you're doing. Yeah, face it, folks. You may not do something someone else is doing or have that, you know, particular demon that they have. But, hey, if you look a little closer, you definitely got something in there that you are not doing right. You still got some bondages in there, something that you haven't got it totally together. Hey, man, I've been pastoring church and nothing since 83. Listen, I've seen people put on the act, okay? I've seen them try to be a spiritual, most spiritual giant in the church and try to impress one another how spiritual they are and compete with one another. I've seen all this stuff. I've seen people play the hiding game. Yeah, the hiding game, we'll call it, and we've all played it. And a lot of times it begins early in life. As little children, we're open and honest, you know, with all that we meet in the beginning, being ourselves without any concern over being accepted or what people are going to think about us. You know, that's the sweet innocence that causes us older folks, even though we may still have demons at that age, but we still have some innocence that we didn't have as we grow older a lot of times. And so, yeah, the sweet innocence that causes us older folks to think how many little children are so dear, right? Without guile or deceitfulness, they expose themselves to all, naked and unashamed. But soon, often very soon, they experience the first pains of rejection from others, the first judgment by others, or the first mistreatment by somebody because of being who they are, right? And poor school causes a person to begin to put on a mask and play the hiding game, and we want to impress one another, and we don't want to be picked on and bullied or any of those things, and we begin to build and live in a world of unreality, putting on a show, putting on an act. We begin to put the real self safely hidden away where no one can hurt him, for he is never revealed to others, right? So the fig leaves go on, and only the fig leaves covered masked actor playing his part is ever seen, because the other part, the real person, you dare not reveal it because they might reject you, they might make fun of you and mock you, and you might not fit in with the crowd there, and you like to fit in Everybody likes to fit in when you're growing up. Genesis 3:7. Let's go over there and read. It says here, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So ever since then, we've sewed together fig leaves to hide us one way or another. That's right. Revealing only that part of ourselves that we think, well, it's worthy. People like this person. And, you know, hiding a demon doesn't make a demon go away or subdue it just because you're trying to hide your demon. Come on. They're still there, and they still need deliverance. You put fig leaf demons over those demons, and more demons will come and accommodate when you start putting fig leaves in anyway. Right? Judging what is good and evil in each other, we become each other, you know, we become actors wearing a mask to be acceptable to one another. This is ridiculous. Even after becoming a Christian, we can't believe God really loves us as we are, so we begin a lifetime of performing for God, hoping to earn his acceptance. Listen, this is a merry-go-round that never ends, folks, if you start on that thing. We can't believe that people just don't accept us as we are. So in our shame and guilt, we sew together and wear whatever leaves we think will please them, hoping for their love and their acceptance. Oh, they'll just accept me now, right? Because I'm just fitting in. I'm being impressive. I'm just, right? It doesn't work. Nor does it bring us to fulfillment. Look at verse 8 here in Genesis 3. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. See, when nothing we've seen to sow on us seems to work, we still resort to the same thing Adam and Eve did. We try to hide. We try to hide things about us. We try to hide our ways, hide some things that we don't want other people to see. Sometimes we don't even want the Lord to see, but the Lord sees everything, so you can't hide from the Lord. But Adam and Eve thought they could, right? Hey, people are just desperate to be accepted and heard and understood and desperate to do that. They peer through the prison bars of the hiding places and the play the hiding game. And sometimes we dare to venture out and risk exposure of the real self, you know, only to be greeted with more hurt, more hostility, more mocking, more rejection. So you go back deeper into yourself, and demons will accommodate that. And then they play the hiding game. And the demon stronghold is strengthened. And we all search for someone who could be trusted with the revelation of ourselves without rejecting us, yet seemingly finding no person to really understand. Well, really, who really does understand you totally other than God? Really, nobody. I mean, even your mate, if you live with them 40 years, they don't totally know you and totally understand you. And people often say, there is no one I can really talk to because no one really understands me. Well, that is true to some degree. I mean, they might understand some, but they don't totally understand you. Who has time to really totally understand you? Granted, in marriage, that's about the person that should come the closest, is your mate if you're married. Over that, I mean, many years, it takes years. Doesn't just happen overnight. First Chronicles 28:9. Let's read that. 28:9 of Chronicles. It says here, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Okay? So there is someone who loves you, though, see, where you are and sees you and as you are, even understanding you completely. And in spite of yourself, he still loves you. That's an awesome thing. That's an amazing thing. That's called amazing grace, really. And here's the fact. The way of acceptance is to find your acceptance with the Lord. See? You need to know that you're accepted in the beloved. You need to find that acceptance and know that you have it, because that's the way of acceptance where you can accept your life and who you are. So you not need to have, play the hiding game. And we need to see ourselves as our true selves, who we really are, through his eyes, through the eyes of the Lord. How does he see me? Accepted in the beloved and loved as we are. If we're ever going to be free from this fig leaf stuff, and hiding game stuff. And the truth is, we will dry up emotionally in our prison if we wait for some human being who will love us when we're unlovable and accept us when we're unacceptable, understand us when we're beyond human understanding. Right? Listen, there just isn't anybody like that. Okay? I mean, there'd be people that give some. You know that there are people that are more caring, understanding, and loving than others, but nobody totally understands. Not even you don't totally understand yourself unless God reveals it to you. But God understands you. He loves you. He accepts you. And in his presence, we could be what we are without fear. We can take off our mask. We can be free of the driving desire for people's acceptance. We can learn the glory of being alone without being lonely. And we can blossom in the sunshine of his love. And that's what we're designed to do. Amen. And we are created to receive the revelation of his eternal love for us individually. See, God has an intimate relationship with each one of us. See, and you probably don't understand the relationship he has with me, and I don't understand the relationship he has with you, and on it goes. But each person has this kind of intimate relationship with God. And this is an awesome thing. That how can a God have that kind of relationship with each individual Christian? Isn't that amazing? He's that big, though, right? He's that big. And to live in absolute assurance of his love for us, I mean, wow, that's to experience. That's to experience really no winter or no night when we live in that love, right? A life where all tragedies and problems of life and all the stuff, the dreary duties of life or whatever, disappear. And we dwell in his light and his love and his glory. And, man, they seem insignificant to him. Hallelujah. So quit looking for some human to do what only God can do for you and be to you what only God can be to you. No one, no human can get inside you. Only God can go into the deep of you, right? Go deep into the deep, right? And since only he can fix those areas and root out those deeply embedded demons in there too. And some you've let in, and others are deep generational family lines. Some you let in growing up. I mean, you let in demons. You didn't know any better. You didn't grow up in a family that did deliverance, most likely. Most people don't, right? And so you didn't know what was going on, so you let a bunch in as you were growing up, teenagers, and before. And so, yeah, and not only that, there are some deep generational family line, bloodline spirits, too, and even curses from long ago, even the third and fourth generation, right? The sins of the father, the mother, and on and on. The doors that have been left open in the past by a family member, by ancestry. And now you're having these problems, and you don't know where they come from, but still you just figure they're normal. But they're not. They have a root. Everything has a root, okay? And you should also know that just because some other family member may have been delivered from their curses or their demons, it doesn't mean your demons have left you or that the curse is broken off of you, because each person has to get their own deliverance individually, which is something a lot of people don't understand. Well, so-and-so got it. He's my relative. Can't he just deliver me too? I'd be delivered because he got delivered or she got delivered. No, doesn't work that way. Doesn't mean your demons are left or that the curse is broken off you just because some other family member got delivered from their demons. Especially if you are not saved and lived in sin, many of the curses they have already gotten delivered from will come on down to you because you had an open door and demons are looking for that open door. Familiar family spirits, they want to stay in the family line. And unless they're forced out, they will too, and they do it over and over, generation after generation. So your children and their children may have problems you don't have any longer because perhaps, they don't believe in deliverance or they're not saved or they were attracted to certain accursed objects and have a propensity toward them or other sins because of past ancestral issues and weaknesses and curses. But see, you got delivered from them, so you don't have that problem anymore. But hey, they do, because they have to get their own deliverance. You mean I can't just deliver them, you know, from everything without their permission? No, you can't. I wish it were that evil. I wish we could just go and pray deliverance for, you know, Joe Biden up there in the White House, get all them tons of demons out of him up there, and we could get him all delivered. And let's see, you know, their will's involved, and they have to choose and resist the devil, and he'll flee. But if they don't resist the devil and they're just pawns of the devil, then they're going to keep their devils, right? These people are going to keep them. They're going to keep their devil until they're ready to get rid of them. And then they got to get saved, too. And that man up there is not saved. He got to get saved. He wants to get free. And that's the starting point for all deliverances, because it's the children's bread, not the lost person's bread. It's the children's bread. Jesus said that himself to the Syrophoenician woman that came for deliverance for her daughter. He said, it's not me to take the children's bread, give it to the dogs or to the Gentiles, right? But it has to be saved. It belongs to the children. Amen? That's why sometimes they struggle with getting deliverance on a lost person. When lost people, they're not really saved. They may think they're saved. They may be religious, but the deliverance goes on, you're not getting anywhere. Why are you not getting anywhere? Because they're not saved. The demons have a right to remain. And they can be plenty stubborn, too. They're stubborn enough in the saved people, right? Sometimes they're so stubborn because people, you know, they're not just not able to get out of agreement with it. And the battle is long sometimes. Other times, I love it when people come for deliverance that have fasted and prayed and really gotten out of agreement with their demons and they're ready for deliverance. That's awesome. And they come out pretty easily and pretty quickly. But other cases, other situations are not that way. Right? So, in other words, each person must break things and be delivered from them themselves, personally, right? Personally. Now, godly parents, now this could be an exception. I mean, godly parents have been deliverance people, and they know of deliverance, and they've been in deliverance. They can deliver willing children who are at home still and spare them some suffering, the same things that the parents suffered before they got delivered, and get rid of some of the demons the parents had before, okay, but before they were delivered. But in our society, how many children grow up into teenage years and beyond and rebel and fall away if they were raised in a Christian home? Then they get back those spirits they were delivered from, right? Because the demons have a open door. So how many times did that happen? Oh, my. More times than I can count. I've seen it. Yeah, so they can then be the recipients of demons that were once cast out of them. If they were raised in a Christian home like that, that did deliverance on them, they could become the recipients of those demons again. See? Even though they went out. Okay? All right. But that does not have to be the case. So, still, you know, it's time for you to be set free to walk and talk with him in the cool of the day, right? Like we read here. If they walked and talked with the Lord in the cool of the day. Go to Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11, hallelujah, glory to God. We are so blessed to know him and to know about deliverance and to know his word. I mean, living in grace, there's nothing like it. Hallelujah, Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. He's going to show me the path of life. He said, but what will happen when I let him down? What will happen when I fail, when I sin? Well, first, remember, you've never been loved as Father God loved you. Nobody's ever loved you like the Lord has, okay? And all the love you've ever known here on earth has been a performance type of love for the most part that faded away when your performance became unacceptable. And they didn't like your performance. And it wasn't the kind of love that the Father had, because most people don't love that way. So it may be difficult for many to rest in God's love, a love that knows no disappointment in you, although you may, you know, have some times where you fall into sin or something. And of course, God, not, he doesn't like sin. He hates sin. He hates evil. But he knows that, the Father knows that Jesus went to the cross for you and took your punishment for you and bore your sins, and that you received that and you accepted that, what he did on the cross. Right? And so, yeah, you may still have bondages too, in yourself too. Paul said, I have no good thing dwelling in my flesh. Yeah, no good thing dwells in my flesh. So Paul had it, but he knew he was loved by the Father in spite of that. And see, we've been the target of legalism and religious brainwashing too, which has subtly taught us that God's love is also performance-based, see, which is a lie, see, but then a lot of Christians believe that, see. They believe that if they just study more, pray more, and talk in tongues more, then somehow God will be more pleased with them. But see, no, he's already as pleased with you as he's ever going to be. And you're already as saved right now as you're ever going to be. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. See, our minds are blinded so many times by the traditions of men. The traditions of men taught to be the commandments of God is what happened. And they've made his love of little effect, and they've made his word of little effect, too, because we don't believe in it. See? Our minds are blinded to the true nature, and we think it's like man's love, performance-based. Not. I'm sorry. It's not. You know, God is not a man, and he doesn't think like a man. He's God. He's far above our thoughts. Much higher, the Bible says. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. And for many to rest in the love of Jesus, it's going to be like testing ice for strength. You know, you start going out to walk on ice, and you just take a little, push a little weight there, and then a little more, a little more, a little more, as you go out to see if it'll hold you. But a lot of people like that with God. They just wonder, will God really love me? You know, we may draw back in fear many times, but Jesus is never going to draw back. No, you're accepted in the beloved in Christ, and so he's not growing back. Folks, I'm telling you, religion is so deceptive. So deceptive. Religious spirits are very prevalent in the churches today. And you got to guard against them, okay? Because it'll have us cover ourselves with the fig leaves and convince us that only as we present ourselves as a lie, living by rules and regulations and forms and rituals and commandments, can God truly continue to love us. Because after all, you got to perform for God. You got to get brownie points with him by your good works. You got to do all this and do all that and study and pray and study and pray and study and fast and pray and do good works for people and do all this. And then maybe God will accept you. Now, that's religious. That's a religious spirit ministering to you if you believe that way. Then we begin to score ourselves and others in our own eyes rather than walking in openness and nakedness in the light of and the eyes of God. We worry too much what others are going to think, and we have this scorecard, and it's ridiculous. That's religion. It's a religious spirit that keeps you doing that, thinking that way, functioning that way. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Read another scripture here. 10:12. But we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. See, it's not wise. It's not wise. In other words, if it's not wise, it's stupid, right? It's dumb to do that. And people that do this simply have no understanding of the perfect love of God. They're religious, and they picked up religious spirits, and they compare themselves one with another and judge one another and compare themselves with one another and judge one another and compare themselves with one another. And it just goes on and on and on, and it's going nowhere. And religion recognizes the possibility of failure, and they have a fig leaf for that as well. So every night you're taught to confess and repent for all your sins of the day. And this requires diligent prayer and repentance on your part all the time. And, oh, by the way, what if you forget one of your sins? Well, religion avoids that question. Yeah, I thought that in the beginning of my Christianity. I had to confess every sin. Really? What does this do? It causes us to categorize our sins, big sins, little sins, medium sins, all kinds of sins. And then we begin to think, well, I don't do the big ones very often anymore, so I must be getting better until God is more pleased with me. And thus self-righteousness and pride comes in. And those spirits begin to grow and multiply. And then we begin to judge and condemn others to justify ourselves and to build up our own self-righteous walk with God. And so demons of pride and self-righteousness become our fig leaves as well to protect us. And but even Paul put this deception to death when he said that in Romans 7:18, that no good thing dwelleth in my flesh. And he also says, I do the things that I don't want to do because it's a sin that's still part of me. The Bible says that if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. So everybody sins. At times, every believer sins. Right? I mean, that's what the Word of God says. If you say that you don't sin, you're deceived. Okay? But we may sin, but we're not sinners anymore. The Word of God declares that very clearly. Look at verse 19. We see it over and over again. I've read it. I mean, for the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me, that's living attached to me, right? I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against. There's a war going on against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's not in my spirit, but it's in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See? So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Okay? So in other words, with the spirit, we're serving God. Okay? But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There's no condemnation. God doesn't condemn us, so we shouldn't condemn ourselves. Okay? We're not righteous of ourselves. We cannot be, but we're righteous of Christ. And of Christ, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. And no matter how many demons you have, if your spirit is born again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. And there's therefore now no condemnation. But if you start walking in the flesh, you start getting in a religious spirit, you will have condemnation, right? If you stop living in the grace, as it says in Romans chapter 6, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over us, for you are not under the law, but under grace. As long as you stay under grace, sin doesn't have dominion over you. See, you can have dominion over sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you if you're in grace. But when you go back under the law, you go back under religious spirit, then you get out from grace, and then you're going to have condemnation, and you're going to have sin's going to have dominion again in your life. Demons are going to have dominion again in your life. See? So the sins of each day that fall short of the glory of God, and what is the glory of God? Jesus is the glory of God, and whom all of us fall short of his perfection, right? And so these sins are not merely under the blood as religion might teach you, but they're carried away as far as the east is from the west. That's right. And what does the blood of Jesus do? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess, let's go to 1 John 1:9. What is that word confess? Well, a lot of people are confused by that. But 1 John 1:9, it says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See? So we don't spend our time discovering new sins to repent or confess for, but we are seeing each day how many sins we have already been forgiven. We're in Christ. They are all forgiven, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Why doesn't the Bible say that we're to confess our sins daily? Nowhere does it say that. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess, the Greek word homologeo, to speak the same thing as, agree with, that means we are to have the same attitude as God toward those sins and say the same thing as God says and does toward our sin, right? Which is that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, once and for all, satisfied God about sin on our behalf, right? And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father, having accomplished that on the cross, bearing the sin of the whole world. And only the ones who believe on him are the ones that get the benefits of that, though. And even all that have the benefit of it don't all live in the benefit of it. I mean, know that. because they live under legalism and condemnation and guilt and beat down by demons, and their own flesh beats them down. So 1 John 1:7, what does that say? It says clearly, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It does. It's done it. It's cleansed us from all sin. And so the cleansing is then a continuous moment by moment cleansing by his blood. And that blood is continually cleansing us from all sin. As long as you walk in the light. See, if you walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with him. How do you have fellowship with one another and with him? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. See, so we do sin. But the blood of Jesus is continually cleansing us of all sin. See, and if we confess or agree with what he says and what he's done, that Jesus bore our sins and sicknesses on the cross, I mean, he took them. If we confess that, agree with that, then what does he do? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See? We're cleansed from all unrighteousness. So all things, whether we remember we did it, we don't remember we did it, doesn't matter. It's all gone. And we are clean before God that we can come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need to receive grace in that time of need. We can receive abundance of help. So sin does not separate you from God. If that were the case, you'd be getting saved every week. You'd be going down on the altar crying and moaning and groaning and trying to get God to save you again. And you go inside and out of the family all the time. If you have a son or a daughter, are they your son one day and not the next until they come moaning and groaning back? Would you take me back? Would you take me back? I've sinned. I've done something wrong. I know I did it wrong. Mama, daddy, take me back. Take me back. And no, they're still your son or your daughter, even when they sin. And we're still his sons and daughters, even when we sin. And we just need to confess what he says about us, that he went to the cross and confessed what he's done, that Jesus bore all my sins and sicknesses and sins on the cross, and therefore all my sins are gone and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. See, you're confessing that. If we confess, speak the same thing as, agree with what's done, and have that agreement on our lives. See? Amen. Amen. If you want to confess your sins that way, go ahead, you do it. But the fact that this is what the word means. Okay? So, as long as you walk in the light, your sins are cleansed by his blood. You believe that? Well, that's what the word of God says here. Okay? His sins are cleansed. And we agree with God. As long as we walk in the light, agree with God. Are you agreeing with him or are you agreeing with demons and what they say about you? Oh, you're going to hell. Look at what you've done. Look at the filthy sins of your life today. Look at all that you've messed up. Look at you, you unworthy, messed up thing. You're so messed up. No, you're not agreeing with God. You start buying into what the devil's saying. See, we got to believe what God said and what God did. We're not sinless, but we are blameless in God's eyes, see, because of what Jesus did. See, we're agreeing with what God did, okay, through Christ. So it's not what we do, but what he's done and a daily revelation of that truth. See? So we need to come out of the hiding game, take off your fig leaf. Don't walk in that bondage anymore. You don't have to. You're not called to it. It's not what God told you to do. You know, quit living in that bondage and, you know, realize that you're accepted and loved by him. And another deceptive area here is we got to remove the hindrances and allow the growth to take place. You know, say a husband and wife are walking together through this life, hand in hand, best of friends, willing to sacrifice all for each other, a child and his parents and loving, being with each other with a mutual love and respect, a brother and a brother, a sister and a sister in the Lord, enjoying their relationships in spite of their faults, loving and caring and encouraging one another. Sounds like a fantasy land, an unreal place, right? Is it possible? It's possible, but it's rare, okay? But Satan, he's a wall builder. He builds wall between people to separate him, just like he builds a wall between you and God if he can and get away with it, just as he's continually attempting to separate us from God with his wall. Can he separate us from God? Not really. But if we start believing that we are separated from God, then we're in for much trouble, right? You know, and we believe what the devil tells us, see, then we believe it, then it's going to become that way for us. And even though it isn't that way, as far as God's concerned, it is that way in our perception of things, see. And I tell you what, a lot of Christians have the wrong perception of things. Some believe they've committed the unpardonable sin. I remember I've had more than one number of people come for deliverance, and they believed that they had committed the unpardonable sin. It was too late for them, and they were never going to be able to be saved again, even though they were supposedly saved. But they believed they committed the unpardonable sin. Demons had convinced them. See, they used the wall, and they believed the wall. The devil used the wall. Demons used the wall. And the people believed in the wall, and they felt like they were separated from God. And therefore, they were lost. And so they were believing that they had committed the unpardonable sin, and they were told repeatedly by others that they had not done that, and that this is a demon. And I told them it's a demon, and we tried to cast their spirits out, but they wouldn't quit believing that, even after some deliverance, because it was so big that they believed it. See, the demon had got such a hold in there that they believed it, and they just kept believing. They committed unpardonable sin, even trying to do some deliverance. But you know what? You could soak those walls in the blood of Jesus, and they will crumble and fall. But you have to believe that they're going to crumble and fall. Them walls that demons put up, those walls that the devil's put up in your life, the devil puts up in your life, start soaking them in the blood. Start applying the blood against them. Hey, you're not going to be separated from God. He's not going to prevail that way, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, except what you let separate you from him. Because the Bible says nothing can. Okay, so if you're letting something supposedly do that, then you're going against the word of God, okay? And see, even if he cannot actually separate you from God, he wants you to think that you're separated from God. See, it's what you think in your mind. That's why the Bible says it casting down vain imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself. See, and most Christians are defeated at this point. Because when you fail or sin, immediately the devil comes and tells you, number one, well, you've got to atone for it. You've got to make amends for this failure. You've got to fix this. Or number two, the demon to tell you, well, God doesn't want anything to do with you now. You dummy, you sure blew it this time. You know, the demons will say worse things than that to you. And Christians will believe it. They'll believe it. Number three, they'll tell you, you're going to suffer for this one. Bad things are going to happen to you now, and people go around expecting bad things to happen because they did something bad or they said something bad, and so they live their Christian life in expectation of evil, bad things happening, see? And they do because they're given permission for them to happen, see? Instead of taking what the Word of God says and believing it and confessing and agreeing with him and having him cleanse you from all unrighteousness and standing clean before your God, amen. Yeah, and there is a place for repentance, too. You know, don't get me wrong. Turning away. Repentance is turning away from your sin. You've got to repent sometime. Don't think that there's never time for that. There is a time for that. Okay, especially if you've been involved in some kind of sin that's got a hold on you. Okay? All right, so all these lies, though, that the devil tells you, and sin, again, does not separate you from God. It might hinder your relationship with him. It might hinder your intimacy with him, but it does not separate you from God. And a lot of people think it does. Oh, I can't have a relationship with God. I sin. Well, no, not with the blood of Jesus continually cleansing you from all sin. How is that separating you from God? Okay? Matthew 19, verse 6. It says, wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. One flesh, let no man put apart. But notice some things it did say. It said what God has joined together. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Let's read another scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:17. Go over there and read that, and then we'll talk about this. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Now, as it said, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Okay? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. Let no spirit put apart or separate that, because that is done. You're one spirit with the Lord. You're joined to the Lord. See, you see how that nothing can separate you unless you let it separate you, but you're still, in God's eyes, you're one with him. See, for the marriage, though, the enemy's always attempting to put it apart and to put it asunder and to bring it into divorce court. And the fact of the matter is, many do go to divorce court. simply because God didn't join them together. Notice it says what God has joined together. How many know God didn't join a lot of marriages together that are together today? How many know that God didn't put a lot of people together that went together? How many know that a lot of them were formed in hell? They weren't formed in heaven. You mean all marriages aren't made in heaven? Hey, what did it just say? What God has joined together. No, man and unclean spirits often join themselves together in their rebellion. Woman and man often join themselves together in their lust or in their desire for love or desire to be accepted by somebody. You know, in their rebellion to have whom they want, you know. And many times out of lust or impatience or even infatuation, or sometimes daddy or mommy or some matchmaker put them together or lead them together, or grandma and grandpa or somebody helps get them together. But he that is joined to the Lord, he is one spirit. And God alone joins people to himself. I mean, that's marriage indeed, truly made in heaven, right? Because it was made in heaven. But hey, people do marry the wrong people. God didn't put them together. And we got to recognize that. But see, God is merciful and forgiving too. So even though, you know, it might not have been his perfect will and all that, God, if you really seek the Lord, God can redeem the marriages that were not joined by him, and he can turn things around for people. Amen. The curse can be broken and all that, and deliverance can take place. And that's another story, okay? But always the enemy is attempting to separate the marriage from God, you know? He is our husband, it says in Isaiah, I believe it is. And he married his people. So the enemy doesn't want that, you know. But that is a marriage made in heaven because God bought you with a price. And he went up into heaven and came back down and rose from the dead and went into hell, made a public show over the devil, triumphing over him, and overcame him. So he had the legal, you know, right to get back all that the devil stolen from us. And now you're giving it back to us. If we'll take it and walk in it and walk in our authority and walk in the blessing of God that he got back for us through his death and resurrection. Ephesians 2:19. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Hallelujah. I'm a saint. I'm a fellow citizen with the saints. Therefore I am one of the saints. Right? Amen. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise God. This is wonderful knowledge. See, we're in a building process right now. Christian, wake up. We're being built together into a holy temple. Temples are God's places where he dwells. Amen? But what God is building, the enemy is attempting to tear down. And in that process, he is trying to tear you down to where you don't believe that you are what he says about you, and you don't believe you're anything to God. See, he knows that if you think you're nothing before God, you're just a worm, you're no threat to him. The devil knows you're no threat to him if you think you're just a worm or that you've committed the unpardonable sin or... Yeah, because worms and wretches don't rule anything. Okay? When we sing that song, Amazing Grace, you know, who saved a wretch like me. No, I was a wretch, but I'm not a wretch now. See, I'm a saint now. So I'll just sing someone like me when I sing that song. I don't sing a wretch like me. Because, listen, you know, God saved you as a wretch, but he transformed you to a saint and to a child of God. You're not the wretch anymore that you were before you were saved, right? And you're not just an old lost sinner saved by grace. No, you're a saint of God saved by grace. Amen. And you were a sinner, but you're not one now. God doesn't call his saints sinners anymore. He calls us saints. He calls us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So a lot of people just have wrong theology, man. Amen. I'm not a wretch anymore. I was a wretch, right? I may do some wretched things still because nobody's without sin occasionally. We might do something like that, but hey, we're not the wretch anymore. Just because you do something doesn't make you one of those. Okay? All right? Come on. He then can cause you to live in fear, then he's won. Fear you've lost your salvation, or you're going to lose your salvation, or fear you will fail, or fear you're going to die, fear you're going to get sick, fear you're going to lose out, fear is bad things going to happen to you, fear, 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 fear. The devil works by fear, and you know what I'm talking about. He's working by fear to control the people. If he get you in fear, he's got the upper hand, see, because, you know, you're dwelling in the devil's territory when you're living in fear, because God said, I didn't give you fear to fear, but I gave you a sound mind. I gave you love. I gave you power. And so the opposite of fear is power, love, and a sound mind, right? Okay. So God didn't give you fear to fear. So if you're living in fear in these areas of your life, then you stepped over to the devil's territory. So is it any wonder that he's starting to devour you? Is it any wonder that he's been able to devour in certain areas of your life and bring in the bondage in certain areas of your life because you're giving place to him through fear? But if you recognize you're joined to Christ and that you're being built a holy temple unto God and that you're a saint and a king and a priest and a conqueror, more than a conqueror, and the head and not the tail, you'll then begin to rule and reign over the devil. And this is what he's afraid of, so he tries to put you in fear because he fears you possibly becoming someone who knows how to walk in his authority over him. See? So he uses fear. He uses his most powerful weapon, see, fear and pride. And now to the degree that you experience Jesus' love for you, that is the degree you're going to walk as the head and not the tail, right? Why is that? Well, what does it say in the Bible? Perfect love casts out fear, right? Perfect love, 1 John 4:18. You want to read it? We can read it. I'll just remind you of it. We'll read it again. I've read it before. I'll read it again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Well, what does that mean? Well, the more perfect love that is partaken of, the more confident in Christ a believer is. See? Fear believes in punishment. Fear expects punishment. When you're living in fear, you're expecting punishment. You're expecting something bad to happen to you, see? And you're expecting when you sin that something's going to happen. I'm going to reap what I sow. Well, no. Jesus bore on the cross the curse so that we don't necessarily have to reap everything we sow. Okay? But anyway, that's another message for another time, but I've taught it before. But see, fear expects punishment. That's why you expect punishment. Okay? Because when you sin, you're expecting punishment. You haven't seen the perfect love for you. And fear in us tells us that we're in unbelief and that we fear God doesn't really love us and he's out to get us and out to punish us. And no, the punishment was taken on the cross for you. Your punishment was taken. You don't have to take it again. But a lot of Christians are self-punishment, self-abusing themselves because of their sins and their faults and their failures, and so they self-punish and they self-abuse. When Jesus bore all their punishment for you on the cross, Jesus is never going to punish you, okay? He doesn't do that. He corrects us. The Word of God is profitable for instruction, for correction, and he's not punishing you. He doesn't say he's going to punish you. Chastisement is not punishment. He chastises with his Word, not with sickness and disease. Oh, yeah. So sometimes that unbelief and fear is revealed by your half-hearted, timid way that you approach God. See, because you're fearful of God because you know you've sinned. But remember what we said about sin, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. But we are like the people who almost puts a no in a person's mouth. You know, we're kind of like that when you ask for something. In other words, well, I suppose you probably wouldn't be willing, nor could you, by any chance, let me have such and such. In other words, you're already placing it in the person's mind to say no. And that's the way some people go to God. Chances are they're going to tell you no, right? Because you come to them and say, well, you probably wouldn't be willing to do this, or you probably wouldn't do that for me. No, there probably isn't any chance that you would do this or this or give me such and such. So I guess, I probably shouldn't even be asking, right? But if you come to God with that attitude, what are you doing? You're inviting his refusal, for by this attitude, we deny our right standing with God and our access to the Father through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, and we deny ourselves, everything that God's already given us by saying, well, you probably haven't given me this. That's unbelief. You're going to the Father with unbelief, and he's not going to give you anything. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. Right? Unstable. Yeah? How many Christians are unstable today? Too many, because, oh, I'm just so unworthy. Well, who told you that? Where are you getting that information from? You must be reading the wrong kind of Bible there, because it's not in the Bible. Okay? Look at it says in Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. God's faith. Where did your faith come from? Jesus is also the finisher of our faith. It's the faith of him. So because of the faith of him, we have boldness and access with confidence because of the faith of him. And we have that faith because he gave us that faith, the supernatural God miracle working kind of faith, right? That we can receive miracles through that faith. Hebrews 10:19. What did it say here? It says, having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How do we get in? See, at the point that we allow fear, we allow the enemy to enter our prayer line. And his fear is a wall to receiving the blessings of the Father. Do you see that? Oh, yeah. So again, what do? You apply the blood to those attacking walls. You go after those walls with the blood of Jesus, and those walls will crumble. You go in the authority of the blood. Those walls will crumble in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. They will. Amen. But that fear is a wall to receiving the blessings of God. So we quickly cast away our confidence, right? That's what it says. And what does the Bible tell you about casting away your confidence? It says don't do it, right? Verse 35 of chapter 10 here. What does it say? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. You might receive the promise. You're going to receive the promise, but be patient. And don't let go of your confidence. That's your faith. That's the believing. See, we think we probably made a mistake. Oh, my. It must not have been the will of God. So it's not going to happen. I must have prayed out of the will of God. So God wants us to confidently and in his God-given faith approach him. And he is ready and waiting to receive us. And he will answer the prayer as long as it's in alignment with the word of God, right? Oh, yeah. But to get here, we're going to have to first come to the place where we hate that self-life, that self-rule, that control, and that rebellion, and that religious spirit, and those lies that the devil tells, and that fear. Remember, he that keeps his life shall lose it, and he that gives God his life shall have life, right? God's life in place of your life. Well, I'll tell you, that's a good trade. Gladly, Lord. Amen? Gladly. We must hate ours and take on his life. We died ours to take on his. See, we don't change much until we see the junk in ourselves, the eyes of our understanding being open, and we hate that stuff, and we can't stand that stuff, and we start allowing God to work in us to get rid of that stuff, see? Because we all have it, stuff. We all have it, okay? And so there's no sense putting on the fig leaves and the demons to protect you from dealing with this stuff. Have you ever done things or said things, and afterward you saw an unpleasant side or part of your life, and you said, man, I hate that. And you saw it was not God, and maybe it was an attitude, a prideful thing or a selfish thing or a control thing. Well, bless your heart, man. You're now a prime candidate for change and more of God, see? Because when we see ourselves, like Paul did, he said, man, no good thing dwells in me. I hate these things. I do what I don't want to do. I hate these demons that are in my flesh. I just don't want to do these things. I'm going to do what I don't want to do. And he saw it, see? A lot of Christians never see it that way, okay? They never see it that way. They never enter its place of change. See, don't put on another fig leaf, demon, at that point. Instead, hey, move ahead and let God do his process of change on you. See, God wants to change you, and that change is to be from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, through death to self-rule. See? And the more that is removed of that old self-rule, the more of him we can see and we can experience, okay? And you can't stand yourself. Well, good. Get ready for change. Get ready for God to change you. Thank God you get into that place where you can't stand that old self.
that we just die to self and put on the new man, right? The new God-created man, right? You can't stand your children. Well, die to them and turn them over to God, right? Quit trying to make them into your image. Let God make them into his image of what he wants them to be, right? See, for this to happen, though, you're going to have to release your grip of control. And until you quit playing God and playing the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can't fully exercise his real work in your life and his blessing and his plan for you and for them as well. And God wants you to be blessed more than you ever know, right? And in this life, I mean, he wants you to be blessed more, way more than you think he wants you to be blessed. But the way to his blessing is a death, like we read Romans 7, right? Want to go back to Romans 7? Let's do it. Romans 7. Let's read verse 5 or 6 this time, Romans 7. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now you are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held in bondage to the law, through the law, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. See, we are now not living under the letter, under the law, under the old commandment, but we're living in the spirit now, see? And if we walk in the spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and the flesh won't control us. But see, walking in the spirit is not something every Christian does, but it's something every Christian can do, and it's available to them. Remember, after Christ, death came, right? You know, after he died on the cross, after his death, came more life than ever before in man's history. We came into real life. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Because he died, and by that death, life came to all who would receive him. To all that would receive him, what did he do? He made them sons of God. He gave them the ability to become sons of God. Amen? I mean, really, family of God, turn yourself over to God. Reckon yourself dead to self and risen with Christ to live in a real life. In the real life. See, he said, I've come to have the real life. I've come to might have life and have it more abundantly. See, a lot of us weren't living life at all. We were just existing before we came to Christ. And now we have the capability, and yet so many Christians still just existing. They're not living in the capability of what they have to live in, which is the real life, the abundant life, the more than abundant life, right? Amen. The newness of life, the Bible calls it too. See, you don't have to have all these demon coverings any longer. You don't need all the fig leaves. You don't need to run and hide and play the hiding game. You don't need fig leaves because you have the blood covering, and the blood deals with the accusations of all that is still wrong with you, as well as it puts a whipping on the devil and the demons that are still attached to you and put you in an authority position to cast them out and to bind them and to loose blessing instead of the curse upon you, right? Oh, yeah, you know you've been put in an authority position now. Remember Luke 10:19, the spirits are subject to you, are giving you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, and the spirits are subject to you. It says in the next verse. Remember that? So, yeah, we're in the last days, but here a lot of people get a weird think about the last days. They start thinking some demonic thinking that came from a devil, and you get a lot of Christians think that way. And I'm going to explain it to you right here before we close here. But we're in the last days, but the authority that God gave you, it doesn't quit just because it's the last day. A lot of people think it is. That's what the devil's deceiving. Devils are still subject to us. But the devil, Satan, he wants you to think, oh, it's the last days, and it's my season, and you have to be defeated by me. I get to wear you out. It says in Daniel, see, he knows the word of God, too. He said, I get to wear out the saints of the Most High God, see? Oh, I get to persecute you and abuse you. I get to wear you out. Hey, wait a minute now. Listen, the devil's trying to psych you out. Does he have to wear you out? Does he have to be able to wear you out? Does he have to have his season of destruction on the believer's life? He might have his season on the world. He may persecute us, and there is persecution that takes place. Even, you know, the Bible says we're going to suffer persecution. It doesn't say you're going to suffer sicknesses and disease, but it does say we will suffer persecution. And persecution has been around all the time. Jesus was persecuted, but he wasn't sick. Never read anything about him having to go get a COVID shot, a jab for some COVID thing or some worldwide plague or something. No, he didn't do that. No, he wasn't worried about sickness. He went about healing the sick. than casting out the demon. If there was a demon of COVID, then he cast it out, right? If there was a sickness of COVID, he got rid of it, see? And he didn't have it. So ridiculous that some preacher said, well, if Jesus was here, he would get the jab. Well, that preacher doesn't know Jesus then. He may know him some ways, but he don't know him fully. He doesn't have the full gospel. He may have a partial gospel. He doesn't have the full gospel. But anyway, the point is, you think that Jesus took back the scripture in John 10:19? That the spirits are subject to you in 10:20 and 10:19, because now it's the end time. See, it doesn't work. You know, the spirits aren't subject to you during the last day. No, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, the Bible says. Irrevocable. Grace is still there, and it'll see you through to the very end. He said, I'll not leave you to the end. Not going to leave you. I'm going to see you all the way, even in perilous times. See, God's going to be God just like he is a good time. And bad time, he'd be God. It doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter. His promises are true in the good times, the last days, the bad times, any time, the evil day, you know, having done all, stand in the evil day, right? He's gonna be with us in the evil day. He's gonna be with us in every day. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, in reality, now like never before, we need to be exercising our God-given authority. Like never before, we need to be operating on that. Come on. You know that. Like never before. Yeah. Even in perilous times, see, he will be there to see us through them, and we've got the authority. It isn't going to leave us, okay? So we need to be bold and walk in holy boldness, even getting up in the devil's face and saying, no, devil, no, not going to prevail against me, not going to prevail against my house. Not going to destroy me, not going to take me out, in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, devil. You leave us alone, in Jesus' name. You stop it, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I apply the blood against you. I send the warring angels against you right now. I send the angels into battle right now against you to take you out and stop you from what you're trying to do, in Jesus' name. I say no to you. You need to be bold. Get up in the devil's face. Not going to prevail against me. I put you, and I will keep you in your place, which is under my feet. Amen? Because you're under Jesus' feet. That hasn't changed. Amen. And I'm his body, the body of Christ. Amen? The devil, back off in Jesus' name. Amen. God's people need to get bold. They need to quit being afraid of the devil. They need to quit letting him put their fear, all the devil's fear all over you, those demons of fear being released. On the people of the earth, and people are caving into it. Look how many Christians caved over this COVID. They didn't believe God. They believed the media. They believed God is lies up there all the time to the people because they have an agenda to get everybody back so they can kill off a large part of the population. They want it to be only 500 million. There's too many people on there. They got to get rid of the people on the earth. They have their agenda. And don't think that it's just for the good of the people. Don't think that they're telling you the truth. They're not. There's too many people dying from the vax. Too many people sick. Too many people having clots and different physical issues from taking the vax. And they're trying to suppress it. But, hey, more and more is getting out. It's all over the place. It's getting out. But, oh, the media is trying to suppress it and trying to get more people to go ahead and take it and do your body damage. Yeah, well, that's another story. But the point is you're going to have to walk in your authority in these last days like never before. And God prepared you. God gave you knowledge. We've been learning in the church for decades. We've been given such powerful words for decades, been learning. Deliverance has come back into the church, and people have been teaching deliverance for decades now. And when are we going to recognize? Spiritual warfare has been taught. When are we going to recognize our authority and start living in it? When are we going to start taking up the mantle of what God has given us? He's given us, right? Hey, Elijah's thrown the mantle. So who's going to get it? Who's going to grab it? Okay? God's thrown us the mantle. Who's going to get it? Who's going to grab it? He's given us the authority. The spirits are subject to us. Amen. And we don't need to fear them. We need to put them in fear of us, though. Amen. We need to put them in fear of us. How many know that the demons don't fear a lot of Christians because they've given them nothing to fear? They've given them nothing to fear.
They haven't taken their authority. They haven't used their authority. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the authority given unto us. Thank you, Lord, that the sins are washed away continually by the blood of Jesus, Lord, that we are the righteous of God today. Thank you that you love us with such a kind of love that is so far beyond human love that it's hard to comprehend. But, Lord, by the grace of God, we begin to get it more and more as we dwell on that perfect love and we meditate on it, we think on it, we read about it, we focus on it, and, Lord, you reveal more and more and more, Father. And we just know that the devil's a liar. And we don't need those fig leaves. We don't need to play the hiding game anymore. We need to remove the hindering walls and allow the Spirit to work the growth into us that needs to be done, Father. And we thank you for working that into us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we have such abundance of grace available to us, Lord, that if we just take it and walk in it, the vine will take the kingdom by force. We take what is ours, and the devil gets in the way, and he puts up walls to getting it and tries to stop us every way he can. But we take it. Take what's ours because you've given it already. You know, it's like, hey, I got a $100 bill for you. Come and get it. And, hey, some people will just sit there. Others will run up to the front of the church and grab it if I were doing that. See? But, yeah, that's the attitude, Lord, that I know you want us to have. We got to take what's ours and not let the enemy stop us from getting it. We run up and get it, Lord. When you promised it and you said it's ours, we don't want to miss out on it, Father. And, Lord, we just declare those lost loved ones coming into the family right now, coming back to the family. We rebuke the demons that have them in their grips right now. We rebuke the lying devils that have deceived them right now in Jesus' name. And we call them into the family of God right now. We call them in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon them right now. In the name of Jesus right now, let it be upon them. Let conviction come to their house, knocking on their door right now. And that you stand there knocking at the door of their heart to come in too, Lord, that you're there and saying, let me in. I love you. I want to save you. I want to get you right with me. I want to wash you in my blood. You are my child. Now come on. Confess me as your Lord. Turn from your sins and receive me. You know, he's there waiting, and he's coming, and he's seeking those that are lost to be saved. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these loved ones, these people we know that need to be saved, Lord, that you'll save each and every one of them in the name of Jesus for your glory, that you'd be glorified in it, and that we would give you the praise, and we give it to you now, and thank you in advance, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, everybody say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my loved one, saving this person I love, I care about. I want to see him saved. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. We'll be right back and do some deliverance.
I will have faith, Jesus is with me. I'm never alone, 24 hours a day. No matter what comes, I will not run, I will take courage and conquer every worry in my life that I face. My enemy lies, telling me I'm not gonna that I'm weak and I'm gonna fall. God is my shield and I know he'll never forsake me. For faithful is the Lord of my salvation who calls. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. I am secure in standing firmly in his strength, and it is mine. Thanks be to are getting near me. I'm resting in the grace of God that keeps me in His love. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. I am secure in Jesus, standing firmly in His strength and in His might. Thanks be to God who always leads me into His triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror. Always leads me into His triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror. Yes, I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror.
Praise God. That dear brother is now with the Lord. He died not too long ago, and now with the Lord. But I'm sure he's still singing. To be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord. And wow, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and do some deliverance. Let's deal with some disease spirits tonight that to put people at disease, dis-ease. Right? Their bodies at dis-ease. So we just come against these wicked spirits of dis-ease, and we bind you, and we break your hold over people's bodies in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name above every name, and we command these spirits to start coming out right now. The spirit of arthritis and back pain and joint pain and all types of pain in the body. We come against those painful spirits right now that are wreaking pain and havoc on people's bodies. You come out in Jesus' name. You come out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose your bodies and let them go. Come out. Come out. All those pain-causing spirits right now, you come out of it. Pain in the back, pain in the joints, arthritis pain. Come out. Neuralgia pain, come out. All this pain spirits, I bind, rebuke those pain and command the pain to go. I command the root causes of these pain to go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way up out of there right now. Go, 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 go. All the way. Come out, come out, come out, come out, 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 out. All the way out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I rebuke these pain spirits right now. I rebuke the arthritis. I rebuke the pain in the joints and the pain in the back, Father, back pain, spinal problems. Come out of the spine. We break the curse over people's spine. And you come out of their spines right now in Jesus' name. Go out, 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 out of the spine. Come out. Loose the spine. Come out now. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Come on. Loose their spine. Loose their spinal column. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Lower back pain, upper back pain, come out, come out, come out. Shoulder pain, come out. Muscle pain, come out. Come out of there, all the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, up and out of there. Go in Jesus' name. We rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you, and you come out of there. We apply the blood of Jesus over your body. And drive out the spirits that have been wrenching down on your body with pain. Come out. In Jesus' name, you go. You stop that. You let go of their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Stop that pain. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, all the way out of there. In Jesus' name, go. The blood of Jesus is against you. In the name of Jesus, you've got to go. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Keep moving up out of there, pain. Move in Jesus' name. Pain in the legs. Come out. Come out. Shingles. We break the curse of shingles over your body. Shingle pain. Go. Herpes. We break the curse of herpes. You come out. Herpes and shingles. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of those spirits that they will not be able to continue to bite down on you and cause you this difficulty. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out, herpes spirit. We break the curse of herpes. Come out. We break the curse of the shingles. Come out right now. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go. Cancer. Tumors. Come out. Cancer. We rebuke the spirit of cancer. Command the cancer. Maybe you haven't manifested it yet, but it might be working in your body. So we break the curse of cancer against your body right now. In Jesus' name, we break it and command the spirit of cancer to move out of the body and die and go and be gone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, go. Come out. Come out. All cancer spirits. Breast cancer. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of breast cancer. The governor's wife in Florida has breast cancer. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Breast cancer. Go. All breast cancers. Go. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Breast. Come out of the breast. Growths and tumors in the breast. Go. Tumors and ovaries and different things going on there. Fibroids. We break the curse of fibroids. Tumors and come out. Come out. All tumors, all growths, all cancers. Go. 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 Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. Come out. All the way out. I break the curse. Jesus became a curse, so you don't have to bear it. Come out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Pain in the ankle. Pain in the ankles, in the foot, come out, in the ankles, and the leg, come out. We break the curse of that pain in the ankle and the thyroid, the spirit that's working on the thyroid that cause your thyroid to not do right. We command you out of the thyroid. Come out of the thyroid, too. Come out, 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 come up out of the thyroid. We command your thyroid to work properly in Jesus' name and be healed and be whole. In Jesus' name, these spirits get out of there. Go all the way out, out of the thyroid. Come out, 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 all the way out. In Jesus' name, go. Loose the bodies right now. Loose people's bodies. Colon problem with the colon. You come out of there. Go, go, go. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. High blood pressure, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, high blood pressure, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that high blood pressure, we break the curse of high blood pressure over you right now. In Jesus' name, you come out of there right now. Go, 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 go. The blood of Jesus against that high blood pressure, against heart problems, come out. Come out against hardening of the arteries. We rebuke that. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out of the circulatory system. Come out of the blood vessels and the veins. Come out of there all the way out. All the way out. All hardening of the arteries and veins. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. All those blockages, move, move, move out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Body be whole, body be healed in Jesus' name. All these sicknesses and diseases, you have to go in Jesus' name. You COVID spirit, you go, go. Pneumonia, go, go, go. We break the power of bacterial infection spirits, come out. Go in Jesus' name, go. Those viral spirits, come out. Those viral spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you're not living our body, they'll not be able to prevail. To bring in the sickness, come out, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out.
Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. To diabetes spirit, come out. Diabetes spirit, the diabetic spirit, come out. Come out. We break the curse, the generational curse. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Keep going all the way out. All the way out of the bodies right now. In Jesus' name, you loose the bodies. Let them go. You have to go right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Everybody take a couple of calls. Get those things out of there. All the way up out of there. Go again. All the way out. Keep going, every bit of it, right now. Go, 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 go. All those spirits of infirmity, I mean, go in Jesus' name. Infirmity spirits, go, go, go. All the way out right now. Forgive us all that iniquity and heal us all that diseases, the Bible. So we claim that too right now and over these bodies right now. All diseases healed, all of them. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, got to go. Keep coming out of there. Did we break any curses that bring sickness down through the family line? Sickness curse, infirmity curses in the family. We break those curses. Those anemic curses, go, go, go. Those fatigue spirits, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Those fatigue spirits, you have to go right now. All the way out of there. Out, 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 out. Up and out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Go, go. Keep moving out, 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 and keep moving out. All the way out. Keep going. Keep coming out. All that fatigue. Go. 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 Come out. 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 Keep coming out. All the way out. We rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I find you. All the way. All that rebellion. You come out. We break a curse of rebellion. Come out. Rebellion. The rebellious spirit. Go. Go, 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 come out, come out, come out. And all that fear we talked about tonight, that fear, you come out too. All that fear, giving place to fear, come out, fear, in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 fear, go, come out, fear, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, go, come out, come out, come out, go. Keep going all the way out. All that fear, the tormenting fear, anxiety fear, the stress fear, the worry fear, come on, all fear, fear of the future, all this fear of disease and death, fear of death, come out, come out, come out, come out, go. All the way out, all that fear, all that pride, you come out. Come on, all that pride spirit, go, that puts on the be something he's not, come out, all that pride, big pride, little pride, come on, all the way out, family pride, spiritual pride, false personality of pride, braggart the pride, the bragging pride, come out, all that pride, go, all those pride spirits, we rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you, come out, pride, keep coming out, up and out, all that pride, all that pride. All that pride, yeah, we're talking to you, pride. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. The blood of Jesus is applied right now. I apply it against you and send the warring angels to sword these spirits of pride. Come on, all that pride. Come out. Come out, pride. Keep moving up and out, up and out, up and out. All those spirits of pride, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. You have to come out, pride, all the way out now. All that pride, big pride, little pride, family pride, spiritual pride, the pride personality of pride, that false personality, a prideful personality that kicks in at times. Come on, the braggadocious pride, come on, all the way out. Go, loose them and let them go. All the pride spirits, the Lord rebuke you, I rebuke you, come out, pride. Keep coming out, 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 all the way out, all the pride, all that pride, in Jesus' name, pride is a covering. For other spirits that are in operation, got to get rid of the pride. So you deal with the other stuff sometimes. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. That spirit of agitated, come out. Those agitated spirits, all the time agitated about something. Come on, even if there's nothing to be agitated about. That spirit just of agitation that keeps you agitated. Come out, agitation. Come out, all that agitation. agitated spirit, come out, 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 come out. All the way out, go in the name of Jesus right now. All the way out. The blood is against you right now. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come on, out of there. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, that impatient spirit, you come out too. That impatient spirit, come out. By faith and patience, we inherit the promise. A lot of people not inheriting them because they're not patient. But we command that impatient spirit to go right now. That spirit of impatience. Try to keep you impatient. You're giving place to it, so it's there. Come out. All that impatience, come out. Come out. Go. Come on out of there. All the way out. All that bit of impatience, come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Yes, you have to go. All the way out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus against you. You have to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. All the way. Loose them and let them go. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Emotionally handicapped spirit. It keeps you handicapped emotionally. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Emotional handicap. Go. Go. We break the handicap of the emotion spirit that's in there that's handicapped and causing your emotions to be bound and torn. Come out of there. Torn emotions, shattered emotions. Come out. All the way out. Hurt emotions. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on. Fragmented emotions. Come out. All the way out. Go. Come out of there. Come on. Out. 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 All those spirits attached to the emotions. Come out. Unreality in the emotions. Come out. Come out, come out, out of control emotions. Come out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep going, all the way out. Go, in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Every one of those spirits, wounded emotions, come out. Shattered emotions, come out. Come on, up out of there. Come out, in Jesus' name. Unnatural emotions, come out. Go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, we come against that spirit of clutter that keeps you cluttered in your mind and cluttered in your life. It's got all this clutteredness. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, all the way out. The clutter spirit that clutters everything up. Come out all the way out in Jesus' name. I bind you. Come out of it all the way out. All the way out. It clutters everything up in your life. Your home is cluttered. And procrastination, you come out too. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All that clutteredness, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. All that clutter, go. In Jesus' name, I bind you. Bind you, I bind you in Jesus' name. All fantasy spirits, you come out of there. Fantasizing about life and things and people, come out all the way out. All that fantasy, fantasy lust, fantasy imagination, come out in Jesus' name right now. Loose the people, let them go all the way out. All that fantasy, go in Jesus' name. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. Come on, all fantasy spirit, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. The spirit of chaos, you come out. Spirit of chaos, go in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus, go. All that chaos, your life is chaotic. Come out in Jesus' name. And the devil is causing chaos because there is a spirit of chaos there. Come out. Come on, all that chaos, go in the name of Jesus. That chaotic spirit, come out all the way out. All the way. Let it go. Breathe it out. Deep, deep breath. Let it go. Blow it out all the way. All the way out of there. Go in Jesus' name. All that chaotic spirit. Come out. Come out. We break those generational torment spirits. Dude, come out. Come out. Come out. The sins of the Father curse. We break that curse. They come down to you. Come out. All the way out. The chaos that came down. The fantasy, the lust that came down. Go all the way out. The anger that came down. We break the curse. Come out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The laziness, slothful spirit that is passed down. Come out, all that lazy, slothful spirit, go in Jesus' name. We break the curse. Jesus became a curse so that you don't have to bear it. So come out, all that lazy, slothful spirit, go in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 all the way out, up and out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out. Keep coming out. All the way out, in the name of Jesus Christ, go, 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 come out, come on, all the way out, all the way out. The spirit of boredom, come out, in Jesus' name, that spirit of boredom, being bored all the time, come out. I rebuke that boredom, in Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, go, the spirit of boredom, in Jesus' name, you have to go, up and out, spirit of boredom, come out. Come out. Keep coming out. All the way out. That unbelief, you come out. We break the curse of unbelief. Unbelief, double-mindedness, come out. All the way out. That unbelieving spirit, come on. I bind you. I break your hold over people right now. That unbelieving spirit, you come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus is against you right now. You have to go. That double-minded spirit causes instability. Come out. All the way out. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. The double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So we break that curse of double-mindedness over you. Commanded to go in Jesus' name right now. All that double-mindedness. Go. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this deliverance time today. Ask you to seal this deliverance to the people who have been a part of it and received from you tonight, Father. We thank you for this time of deliverance. Thank you for setting people free. Thank you for sealing it to them. Thank you for more deliverance ongoing in Jesus' name. We praise you for help and everybody in Jesus' name. Everybody that listens, in Jesus' name, health and healing. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you for listening. And we love each one of you. Appreciate you tuning in and taking the time out of your day to get some good word and good deliverance here. And appreciate it much. And may the Lord just bless you this weekend. You have a blessed weekend. See you back next week, next time.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee. It shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. No evil shall befall thee, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. No evil shall befall thee, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
He shall give his angels charge over thee,
to keep thee in all thy ways.
They shall bear thee up in their hands,
and thou dash thy foot against the stone. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee. It shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee, it shall not come nigh thee.
Well, I believe that, amen. It shall not come nigh thy home, thy place, thy person. Yeah, surely he shall deliver us and protect us all the days of our lives. We're just dwelling in his presence. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your guardian angel, your protecting angel, your warring angel. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them that you've given over us to be in our lives and to protect us and to minister to us, the ministering spirits, the ministering angels. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the peace that passes understanding. We're blessed with peace. The world doesn't have it. They're all caught up in stress and struggles and power and all the lies of the devil. But, Lord, we have your peace. Thank you for the peace that passes understanding. Thank you for the rest of God. And Lord, bless you with those things, too. We appreciate you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All right, well, we love you. Thank you, and good night now. And we will see you back later next week, same time, same place. Bye-bye.